TC right after the international news.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with the Boston Celtics, the hottest team in the National Basketball Association right now. The Celtics routed the Philadelphia 76ers on the road Tuesday night for their ninth consecutive victory. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Jaylen Brown scored 26 of his 29 points by halftime of the Celtics' season-high ninth straight win, a 135-87 blowout over the Sixers.
I went this game. I didn't play well last time we played in Philly. So I wanted to come out and be aggressive and play well. So this is a game that we all talked about. Like, we want this one. We came out and got the job done.
Jason Tatum added 27 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists in Boston's largest margin of victory in its 457 meetings with the Sixers.
Playing better overall. I think we've been clicking well as a unit. You know, starting games on both ends of the floor. And, you know, we knew that Philly's a really good team. And we just had to be ready for the jump.
The 48-point difference topped the 37-point rout of the Sixers in December 1987. Joel Embiid's string of 25-point performances has ended at 31 games. The Sixers center finished with 19 points and 9 boards. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Speaking after his team's big win, Celtics head coach Ime Udoka said, and I quote, "I love the resolve of what we're doing." Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember Udoka showed resolve when he represented Nigeria's national men's team, the Tigers, during his playing days. The 44-year-old Udoka was hired by the Celtics as head coach last year. Meanwhile, we heard Dave Ferry mention Joel Embiid at the end of his report. The Cameroonian star is one of the starters in Sunday's 71st NBA All-Star Game in Cleveland, Ohio. It will be Joel Embiid's 5th All-Star Game appearance. Meanwhile, in the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona, another All-Star, guard Devin Booker, has led the Phoenix Suns to their 6th consecutive victory. The AP's George Tanner reports from Phoenix.
Devin Booker, a game-high 26 points. Chris Paul, 17 points and 14 assists. The Suns had a 13-point third-quarter lead evaporated, but they held on to win. Booker says it's important to hit those big shots and make some big plays down the stretch.
And we understand how much those little plays and 50-50 balls matter. So, you know, we try to key on to those at the same time as just being sound, like, no gambling on defense. Don't try to create nothing crazy on offense. Just play the game how we play it.
Mikal Bridges had 19 points and 9 rebounds for Phoenix. They've won 6 straight games and 17 of their last 18. They have an NBA best record of 47-10. George Tanner, Phoenix.
Thanks, George. Phoenix star Chris Paul says with the game on the line in the closing minutes, the Suns were inspired by his backcourt partner, Devin Booker.
And it was a timeout with maybe like 4:55 left, and Book was in the huddle saying, "All right, under 5 minutes, y'all know what time it is." You know what I mean? And I think for us, having the confidence in our defense as well as our offense, you know what I mean, to know how important it is to get stops and execute.
Chris Paul and Devin Booker make up what's been described as the NBA's best backcourt. And yes, the two Phoenix guards have been selected to play in Sunday's NBA All-Star Game. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Milwaukee Bucks big man, who will also play in the All-Star Game. Giannis scored a season-high 50 points Tuesday night two off his career best and also pulled down 14 rebounds to lead the Bucks past the visiting Indiana Pacers 128-119. Giannis scored 50 points for the first time since the memorable title-clinching game in the NBA Finals last year against Phoenix, which gave the Bucks their first championship in 50 years. 50 points, 50 years, 50, 50, 50. Giannis Antetokounmpo says the Bucks will aim for another victory Thursday night when they play Philadelphia and go into the All-Star break on a good note. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. In honor of Black History Month, we speak with a prominent former U.S. ambassador to South Africa, senior Obama White House official, and former head of the Open Society Foundation, Patrick Gaspar, currently president and CEO of the Center for American Progress. We'll discuss a range of domestic and international issues, from the January 6th insurrection to U.S. policy toward Africa. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Emmanuel Amuneke's recent appointment as head coach of Nigeria's national men's team, the Super Eagles, has been a talking point among the country's many football fans. Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a few of them.
The Nigerian Football Federation has appointed Emmanuel Amuneke, a former coach, a former player, as the head coach of Super Eagles of Nigeria. What's your take on this appointment?
My name is Odalo Peter, the world famous Nigerian number one Manchester United supporter. My take on Amuneke being the head coach, at first I was skeptical, but judging from Osile Gwavon's performance at the AFCON, so I think it's okay to give him a chance to, for him to go, because Senegal's coach is also an African former player. He did well. So with that, let me say, let's fingers crossed. I think Amuneke would be a good choice, and having Egwavon as a technical director, also from the whole NFF crew and backup staff. So I think it's a good appointment. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I said 8/10.
Yeah, my name is Gregory Emmanuel Iri. I'm a Nigerian, I'm a Manchester United fan. A passive fan, actually, not an active fan. So, my take on Emenike being a Nigerian coach is because I feel he'll perform well since he has the experience, one-time footballer. He had tested the Western field. He knows what it is to manage the club. He knows what it is to become a player and to play well in a national team, you know. So, I believe he's going to do well. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll give him a 6/10 because, you know, he's going to be clumsy sometimes. When you feel somebody might perform well, person might not perform well, person might not perform well, person might flop. So it's kind of a 50-50 game for me, but I'll give him a 6/10 overall.
Okay, my name is Oswald Linus. I'm a Barcelona fan, mostly a Nigerian.
All right.
Okay, my take is, I feel since he's a Nigerian and is also an ex-Eagle player, I think he has the experience needed. And most importantly, as the technical support there, since Egwavon is there and the other people, the other staffs there that can give him the support, most importantly, that he needs to carry on with the assignments.
Well, my name is Peter Damian Ejiofor, sports analyst. His appointment is a welcome development for Nigerian football at this time. I say this because this is the time Nigerians are clamoring for an indigenous coach. We can see now Egwavo is the technical advisor. He's coaching the team. And Amunike is an achiever. Nigerians know that. He has coached our national team, under 17 national team, to the 2017 World Cup in Chile. He has worked with Coach Manu Garuba in the 2015 edition. Now we have seen his record extend beyond the shores of Nigeria to Tanzania, where he led their team to their next participation since 1980, in 2019. They made the, in 2019 AFCON, where they made another appearance. So going by all these records, you know he's a good football coach.
You've been listening to some Nigerian football fans commenting on Emmanuel Amunike's appointment as head coach, and they spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Our big African football story this month on the Sunny Side of Sports was Senegal winning its first Africa Cup of Nations trophy. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2022, let's listen in again to this spicy and musical report from Samson Omale, who filed it from Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé.
Hello,
those were sounds from the closing ceremony of the 2021 African Cup of Nations hosted by Cameroon. Some of the country's finest artists who added color to a fantastic closing ceremony at the Olympic Stadium on Sunday in Yaoundé, just before the tournament's blockbuster finale, include Salantiel, Definane, Stanley Eno, and James BKS, a music composer and African hip-hop artist who is the son of legendary music icon Manu Dibango, all brought high-energy performance in the last day of the Nations Cup, just before the finals. After 52 matches, 30 days of competition, it all came down to the finals.
There's a little bit of an advantage for the men in green. Senegal gets the Africa Cup of Nations final underway. Looking for Mane again now. This might be an opportunity. Is there a penalty? What's Victor Gomes say? Mane brought down. A much bigger penalty now. And it is Senegal who missed the opportunity. Position they faced, nothing like that of Egypt. Yes, Salah with a shot, and they with a save. Good running, looking for the return pass. Chance in the middle for Giedru, surely now. No. The goal, the referee Victor Gomes, 90 minutes of footballer. The Cup of Nations final will continue with extra time.
In Dakar, Senegal, this was how the victory was celebrated the moment Mane scored the decisive penalty. Mane thereafter spoke about the African victory, his penalty miss, and his teammates' encouragement after he missed the earlier penalty in regulation time.
It's not only the most important trophy, but it's the more important day of my life, the best day of my life. And of course, so far the best trophy of my life. And I can't express my feeling today. I'm very happy. The big difference today is my teammate. After missing the penalty, everybody come to me in the dressing room. Sadio, we don't care what happened. We lose together, we win together. We push again, and we're going to make it. And the end of when I was going to shoot the second penalty, they all come to me. We trust you, go do it. I think that makes the difference. I think that was the strength today for Senegal. So it gave me more motivation to shoot and score, and I did it for all of the people.
The Liverpool star is also dedicating the trophy to his coach, Aliou Cissé, and this is why.
I think this trophy, it's the first ever trophy of the history of Senegal. So the people cry everything about it because they've been waiting so long. But still, this trophy myself, I think I give it to Aliou Cissé. He deserves it. This man, for me, is something else.
Another reaction we have on the victory of the Taranga Lions is coming from former Senegal great Kalio Fadiga, who says the patience of the coach Aliou Cissé has yielded dividends and shows the indomitable spirit of his country.
Absolutely stunning, because it's the first time that Senegal win the African Cup. And it's good for us because it's won from the 2002. And we are so proud because we are part of it. I think we saw it a couple of times on the TV that the boys were celebrating like we used to do in 2002. So we're so proud to be here tonight. So proud to be Senegal and so proud to be on the top of Africa. That's the way it is. Senegal has never given up.
Away from the final day of the 2021 African Cup of Nations, CAF President Patrice Motsepe is unfazed about suggestions in some quarters that the Confederation of African Football is being micromanaged by FIFA. He says when the critics go low, CAF will go high, arguing that they are lucky to have FIFA as strategic partners. Motsepe made the statement on the sidelines of the CAF Executive Committee meeting in Douala on the eve of the finals of the African Cup of Nations.
The facts are, if there's a World Cup every 2 years, the biggest beneficiary, the biggest advantages by far will accrue to Africa. So it's a no-brainer. Having said that, you cannot have the World Cup every 2 years without extensive review, assessment, re-evaluation, restructuring of the fixtures from an African perspective, the World Cup every 2 years will significantly increase our revenues and our income and our resources in Africa, use that money, better football infrastructure, better football pitches, better academies, promote women's football, build the leagues in Africa.
That's Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe speaking in Cameroon, the host of the 33rd Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. And thanks to Samson Omale for that spicy and musical AFCON package.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the European club football beat, Manchester City and Paris Saint-Germain won their first leg round of 16 matches Tuesday in the UEFA Champions League. Man City dominated Sporting Lisbon in Portugal 5-0, while PSG beat visiting Real Madrid 1-0. Now, after his superstar teammate Lionel Messi missed a penalty, Kylian Mbappe rescued PSG with a brilliant solo goal deep in stoppage time. Mbappe took a backheel pass from another superstar, the Brazilian Neymar, in the fourth and final minute of stoppage time. Mbappe then cut inside two players down the left and shot the ball between the legs of Real Madrid's Belgian goalkeeper, Thibaut Courtois. Courtois had played the starring role up to that point, denying Mbappe early in each half and then stopping Messi's penalty kick in the 61st minute. The return leg between PSG and Real Madrid will be March 9th in Spain. In Lisbon, Portugal, Manchester City routed Sporting Lisbon 5-0 in what's being described as one of the most dominant performances ever seen at this stage of European club football's top competition. Algerian star Riyad Mahrez scored Man City's first goal in the seventh minute. Bernardo Silva had two goals, and Phil Foden and Raheem Sterling rounded out the very impressive Man City score sheet. Pep Guardiola's team now looks like a sure bet for the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals, with the second leg still to be played. In Italy Wednesday evening, Inter Milan will host Liverpool in another first leg UEFA Champions League match. And VOA's Gwen Uten has a preview for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Liverpool have returned to Italy's San Siro football stadium for a second time this season, but it will be the first time they'll face Inter Milan there since 2008. And ahead of Wednesday's Champions League match, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp said he's traveled back to Milan with a fully fit squad.
That's absolutely a good situation to have, no doubt about that. But I don't know how often do I have to say that. It's much more important how we play than who is playing. So that's how it is there. But it helps, of course, that we have options for different and solutions for different problems, or options for different situations. So and that's what we try to use, of course, as well. We need fresh legs for this game. But much more important is that we have the chance to change five times in the game, which gives just a massive boost for football in general in a really tough period of the year.
Klopp squad includes club captain Jordan Henderson, who is back from injury, and forwards Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane, who are back in Champions League action since facing off in the Africa Cup of Nations final, where Mane's side Senegal defeated Egypt 4-2 in penalties. Liverpool are coming off last Sunday's 1-0 victory against Burnley in the Premier League that put them 9 points behind leaders Manchester City in league standings. Their bid to become European champions for a seventh time resumes with their first leg match against Inter Milan, a team Jurgen Klopp calls top-notch and tough to beat.
Apart from that, this Inter is an absolute top-class team, top-class players, top-class manager. Virtually, I mean, last year, with all respect to other teams, I think it's probably the best team this year again in Italy, considered in the table in the moment, but they look really rock solid. They have creativity on the pitch. They are very good organized, very well drilled, everything what they do, and the individual quality is big. So that's Champions League, no doubt about that. It's a top class team, and we need to show a top class performance to even have a chance. But why should we try?
Inter Milan are the reigning Serie A champions and currently second in the league, just 1 point behind AC Milan. Inter won the Champions League title in 2010, but are playing in the knockout stages for the first time in a decade. And ahead of Wednesday's match, manager Simone Inzaghi hailed opponents Liverpool as one of the best teams in Europe, but he added that his team deserves their spot in the last 16.
Io penso che Liverpool sicuramente è una delle squadre.
Inzaghi says on paper Liverpool are the favorites, but games must be played. I'll ask the players to go on the pitch and play our style with a free mind, showing our ideas. Determination will make the difference. Inzaghi pointed to Liverpool's skill in counterattacks and singled out playmakers, including fullback Trent Alexander-Arnold, who told reporters his squad is prepared to live up to the high standards that have been placed on them.
I think there's an expectation now, I think, as a team, as players, to win trophies. I think one trophy minimum season is what we need to be achieving. And I think, obviously, next week we have the opportunity to go and grab that. But I think, yeah, with the squad we've got, the team, the players, the manager, we should be winning trophies. We expect that of ourselves, and if we don't, then it's a massive disappointment. It's expected now.
Liverpool were the winners of the Champions League in 2019, but have failed to reclaim the trophy in the past 2 years. They returned to Champions League action in Italy for leg one, and then Liverpool will host Inter at Anfield Stadium for their second leg match on March 8th. Also on Wednesday, German club Bayern Munich will face Red Bull Salzburg for the first leg of their Champions League round of 16. In Austria. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. In English Premier League football action Tuesday, Manchester United defeated visiting Brighton 2-0. Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo ended his six-game goal drought, firing in a 51st-minute goal for the match's opening goal. Another Portuguese player, Bruno Fernandes, scored Man U's second goal in the 7th minute of stoppage time. With the victory, Man U moved into fourth place in the Premier League standings, 20 points behind front-running Manchester City. Taking a quick look at the Premier League's top goal scorers, Egypt and Liverpool star Mohamed Salah has 16 goals. Salah's Liverpool teammate Diogo Jota has 12 goals. And Raheem Sterling of Manchester City has 10 goals.
Yeah.
And that wraps up the February 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.